The following programming is sponsored by the Museum of Sports. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Peasley Media Group.
In the whole history of Major League Baseball, only a handful of men have played the game with the passion of Pete Rose.
Every one of us is a walking museum of sports, from that first ball game with your parents to maybe getting that nervous, sweaty autograph to maybe even bringing your own kids to their very first game. It's the feeling we all get that brings us back to our own personal Philly Field of Dreams. And the Museum of Sports show is on the air and ready to go there with you. I'm Doug Scheimel, our show dedicated to sports memories, memorabilia, and the museum that's going to capture it all at the South Philly Sports Complex. We're live on the Talk 860 and Museum of Sports Facebook pages, so take a look. Museum of Sports show brought to you every week by the Depatche Franklin Cardiovascular Center. They are the specialists in non-invasive treatment. Joining me from his sports cave, live in Villanova, he is our guide and mentor, Comcast Spectacor legend, founding vice president of the Philadelphia Flyers and creator of the Museum of Sports and author of the book, Blades, Bands, and Ballers, How Flash and Cash Rescued the Flyers and Created Philadelphia's Greatest Showplace. Ladies and gentlemen, Philadelphia's greatest showman, Mr. Lou Scheinfeld. How you doing, Lou?
I'm doing good. Phillies aren't even playing it, and I'm worried. I love the headline today in the Inquirer. Phillies are counting on Noah and Zach Wheeler. Really? I'm shocked. I thought they brought in two guys from Temple University's baseball team.
Exactly.
And they're counting on that. I mean, the press. I was a former press guy and never wrote sports, but I covered politics, which is even worse. I mentioned this last week, Doug and Susan, I can't believe the media goes overboard. I don't know who the writers who cover the Eagles are going to predict that the Eagles are going to beat this week because they're not playing. So we can't lose. And that's a good thing.
They have a merciful bye. Exactly.
Yes. Merciful bye. That's a good term.
So, and from her, from her remote location in Atlanta,
bonus
Georgia,
room.
Yeah, the bonus room, she is the Museum of Sports Director of Community Outreach, Miss Susan Baxter. Hi, Susan.
Hi, and since I am in Georgia, my hearts and thoughts and prayers go out to everyone that was in the path of Hurricane Helene. Chimney Rock, I was just there in July, devastation from Lake Lure. It's very sad, sad situation down there.
Yeah, all that water coming from bigger and stronger and longer lasting storms
sources.
Comes cascading down those mountains, and it just takes everything in its path. Interesting article today saying that really the storm, the Hurricane Alley is now, you know, almost everywhere, depending upon wherever those storms end up. Hey, coming up today, some special Phillies memories of Pete Rose with Diane McGraw. She'll be here on the Museum of Sports show. And another guest, he used to be a mail carrier, and now he repairs and restores beloved baseball gloves from around the world. Jimmy Linetti is going to be joining us live from Minneapolis. And of course, our king of sports collectibles, whose family has the world's largest, most valuable sports memorabilia collection, will be here to talk Pete Rose and Dikembe Mutombo memorabilia, both of whom were temporary Philly players, and we lost them this week. And he'll also be here to talk about what's hot and what's affordable in the memorabilia market and how you can get a sneak preview of what's going to be at our Museum of Sports down at the Depatche Sports Museum at their sneak preview location in South Jersey. But up first, our man on the street, Lou Scheinfeld, has some thoughts on why Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame, you know, posthumously. Lewis?
Well, he just said recently, wouldn't it be a shame if after I die, they put me in? He said it's happened to a couple other ball players. Once they pass away, they feel like better about them. And they say you shouldn't say anything bad about the dead. But I have to tell you, I don't like Pete Rose. I love him as a player. I detest him as a man. He's crude. Well, he was crude. He was profane. He was a degenerative gambler. He was dumb. He was so dumb. And you don't have to be smart to be a baseball player. Yeah. You know, you just got to be able to play your position and hit the ball or catch it. But he bet on his own team.
Yeah.
And he said when he finally confessed years later after he was given a lifetime ban,
and
you
he was
should
pretty
bet
unrepentant.
On your.
Yeah, he never. Should, he,
bet on your own team because you should do everything you can to win. Now, how dumb is that? I mean, banned for life. Look, there are worse people in the Hall of Fame. Ty Cobb was a bigot. He sharpened his metal cleats so he could hurt second baseman when he slid in.
Ooh.
He was an acknowledged bigot who used the N-word all the time. There are guys who have been convicted of crimes, you know, not murder, but there are rapists. There are all kinds of terrible people in the Hall of Fame. Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame, not based on gambling, for which he paid, but based on his record. He was the greatest player, one of the greatest players of all time. I put him in the top 10 all time ever. He played the game the right way. He managed the right way. He just was stupid and continued to bet. He's got the statistics. He should be going into the Hall of Fame.
He was kind of a blunt instrument. He made some racial comments when he, you know, saying that blacks are faster than whites, and, you know, said all sprinters are black, and there was something about a muscle they possessed. And then I think he called Marge Schott, the Cincinnati Reds owner and the one who signed his paycheck. He said she was the only one in the organization who had facial hair, and it was just comments like that over time that, I guess, you know, from a Yogi Berra-ish standpoint, made him kind of endearing, but it was just, it just reinforced some of the reasoning behind the not inducting him into the Hall of Fame. But, you know, sometimes with death comes wiping the slate clean.
Susan, I can't wait.
Yeah. And Susan, speaking of wiping the slate clean, wild card round, you don't like the best of three.
No, it should be five. Gosh, they just started. I don't like this. So already the Orioles are out and the Braves are out, which is fine if you're, you know, a Phillies fan for the Braves, but right. It's too fast, too quick. So I know the only benefit I think Baltimore saw yesterday was they went through all their relief pitchers. Like, oh, let's put this guy in and try to see if we can change it up and get a hit, you know, and be defensive. But and I'm glad Lou agrees that they should be five for the wild card. But I know the structure they changed years ago, allowing more teams to go into the playoffs. But still, it is a long season. But yeah, not a big fan of the three games.
It just seems like, you know, they want to bring as many teams as possible and franchises into the playoffs, and wild card's the easiest way to do it. But they want to get rid of them as quickly as possible and move on, you know, from there. And, mm-hmm. and you had said you'd think the TV revenue would have been something they would have been.
Yeah, I thought that would have been an impact to extending and bringing it to five games. But
yeah,
who knows?
Two brief Philly athletes. We talked about Pete Rose, and we'll be getting some memories from Diane McGraw here in a second. But also the sports world lost Dikembe Mutombo, who helped the Sixers get to their 2001 finals run with Allen Iverson, and sort of a striking contrast between a Pete Rose passing and a Dikembe Mutombo passing, because Pete, as I said, was sort of a blunt instrument, plain spoken, not always the greatest things that came out of his mouth. Mutombo was sort of a pre-med guy who ended up playing basketball, but later established a foundation, built a hospital named after his mom because his mother died waiting around for medical care in Congo and Africa, a big advocate for Special Olympics and many other causes. And just sort of, I mean, we'll remember each of them in their own way. Pete Rose very differently from Dikembe Mutombo, but as we can all remember his, no, not today, the classic finger wag. Hey, we want to make sure our viewers and listeners go to themuseumofsports.org to make a tax-deductible contribution today so you can be part of Philly's sports shrine that's being finalized for a home in the South Philly Sports Complex. And we'll be getting some cool swag for you when you donate. So keep checking themuseumofsports.org. And don't forget to buy Lou's book, Blades, Bands, and Ballers. A portion of the proceeds goes to the museum. When we return, Diane McGraw shares some of she and Tug's Pete Rose memories when the Museum of Sports show continues right here on Talk 860 and Facebook Live. Back in a couple of minutes.
It was 1967, and Philadelphia was in a rut. The economy, riots, Vietnam. That is, until the Broad Street Bullies rallied the region's spirits and brought more than 2 million into the streets to celebrate. You can read all about it in Lou Scheinfeld's candid memoir, Blades, Bands, and Ballers, available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. You'll love the inside stories about Frank Sinatra, Ed Snyder, Bernie Perrant, Frank Rizzo, Elvis Presley, the 76ers, Mick Jagger, Electric Factory Concerts, and Kate Smith. And you'll find out how Lou Scheinfeld helped Ed Snyder rescue the Flyers and, against all odds, got the Spectrum built. Blades, Bands, and Ballers. Get a signed first edition copy at themuseumofsports.org. Themuseumofsports.org. The book the Philadelphia Inquirer called a fascinating and hilarious read. Blades, Bands, and Ballers. An ode to a building that truly rocked. The Museum of Sports Show is presented by Depatche Franklin Cardiovascular and Autonomic Center. Dr. Nicholas Depatche is a caring specialist who uses natural antioxidants, nitric oxide, and anti-inflammatory agents to treat heart disease, hypertension, palpitations, and more with minimum medicines. To learn more, please call Dr. Nicholas Depatche, MD, FACC, author of 4 books and over 100 articles and abstracts at 856-589-6034. That's 856-589-6034.
Did you miss a recent Museum of Sports show? No worries. You can see or listen to any of our previous shows on the Museum of Sports website or on our Facebook page. You'll love our lineup of great guests, including Merrill Reese, the Eagles' Vi Sekahema, Bill Berge and Kevin Riley, Flyers broadcasters Jim Jackson and Steve Coates, and the Phillies' always colorful Larry Boa. The Museum of Sports is on the air and Facebook, and you can join the fun every Thursday, 4 to 5 p.m. on WWDB 860 and Facebook Live.
Hit down the left field line toward the corner. It's bouncing off the wall. Fielded by Cruz. Here comes Rose around third. It'll take a perfect play. The throw to the plate gets away from Bucci. Rose scores. The ball was there in time. The catcher couldn't come up with it.
And we're back on the Museum of Sports Show here on Talk 860 and Facebook Live, brought to you every week by the Depatche Franklin Cardiovascular Center. They are the specialists in non-invasive treatment. I'm Doug Scheimel, along with Susan Baxter and Lou Scheinfeld. Our next guest, one of the last times she was on, she shared Tug McGraw's hell of an Irish coffee recipe with us here on the Museum of Sports Show. I think it was right around St. Patrick's Day, as I recall.
That's
and
right.
Of course, she's been immersed in all of her many and varied interests, sports marketing, entertainment, tourism, film production company, author of the book Behind the Scenes. And we're going to be talking to her a little bit about a new Irish musical coming to Philadelphia. That's right. You heard correctly. Irish musical. Oh, sure. Be gora. Here to share some of her memories of Pete Rose, who passed this week, a big Museum of Sports show. Welcome back to Miss Diane McGraw. Diane, how are you?
Hi, Doug, Susan, Lou. Good to see you guys.
Good to see you.
We'll talk about some of the kind of the fun stuff here, but it's been kind of a rough week. You know, we lost two sort of, I don't want to say brief Philly athletes in Pete Rose and also Dikembe Mutombo, and you mm-hmm. know, love him or hate him, you know, Pete Rose sort of made everybody pause to kind of lament his what's his legacy going to be, and I guess, you know, he had not been in good health in recent years, but was still kind of out there on the circuit. And I how did it kind of hit you when word finally came that Pete was gone?
Yeah, it did hit me. And I didn't know Pete very well, but I did was in his company numerous times with Tug, and Tug was a very good friend of Pete's. And by the way, this is actually the 20th anniversary of Tug's passing. So it was a little bit of a crazy year there, too. But and I have a couple of fond memories, one very funny and one fond. Tug and I, when it was the 20th reunion of the 1980 Phillies, Tug decided that he wanted to have a parade down Broad Street. He wanted to do Casey at the Bat with the Philly Pops. He wanted to have a dinner, a gala. And he said, Diane, can you help me put this together?
Sure.
And so, you know, being the good wife, but wife agent that was at the time, I said, sure. So we went to the Phillies and they agreed to help us with it. And so all of the
And by the way, he wanted to write a book at the same time. So threw a book in there. We had 6 months to put this together. And the book was called, Was It As Good For You? He wanted to recollect all the stories of people who remember the 1980 World Series, because everybody would say, oh, I did this, I was there, whatever. So we collected all of that and we published that book and gave it to all the guests. So the interesting thing was all of the team, the 1980 whole team came up for the celebration, for the reunion. Yeah. And the Friday night, we were at the Academy of Music with the Philly Pops. And Saturday night, Tug was on the field with all the players running around the carts and all that. But the only person who didn't come was Pete Rose. And so we tried to get Pete to come. And he said, I'm sorry. He said, you know, if I can't be on the field with my teammates, I'm not sitting in a corporate box.
Interesting. So, interesting.
Yeah. So he didn't want to come. So he didn't. And it was funny because everybody was out, you know, after party, whatever. And I happened to go back to the hotel room and I turned on the TV set and there was Pete. And he was on with Howard Stern.
Really?
So I went back and I said, hey, guys, you know where your teammate is? He's on with Howard Stern right now. So anyway, he didn't come and we understood, but we did miss him. So everyone that weekend signed a bat. And so I have three bats of signed by the whole entire 1980 team. And the only one on the bat wasn't Pete.
Aww.
So,
really?
Yeah. So
did he just say no or yeah. Really?
Well, he would have come if he could have been on the field, but because he was banned from baseball, he couldn't go on the field. So he said, I'd rather not sit in a corporate box. I want to be with my teammates. Yeah. And if I can't, you know,
yeah, maybe in succeeding years, you might have snuck up on him with a Sharpie or something.
And yeah, well, I did.
Did you really?
So I saw that he was going to be at the King of Prussia Mall signing autographs in one of the memorabilia stores. So I took the three bats and I went over and I brought our youngest son, Matthew. And I said, Pete, can you sign this bat? So here it is. I got it right here.
Nice. Oh, my God. Oh, that's wonderful. Folks watching on Facebook Live,
so here's
this
the
is
bat.
Pretty
yeah.
wild.
Good for you,
so
Diane.
So he signed this bat. And I have it for all my three sons. So they all have a bat. Yeah. So
did he charge you?
Did he charge
you for that? Did he charge you for that?
Oh, God, no. He took nice. I wish I could find the picture. I took a picture with him and Matthew. And he was very gracious. And then the other recollection I have, and this is kind of funny, my oldest brother, John, you may know, he's a musician around town, John Taraj. I don't know if you've ever seen him.
Oh,
but
John, I've had drinks with him many times.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Yeah. He's a great singer and great performer. So he, in 1983, it was Mother's Day and he went to the Phillies game and he was there with his band members and he bent down to tie his shoe. And when he came back up, Pete Rose hit him in the nose with a foul ball and broke his nose. And
oh my gosh.
Yeah. And he had to perform that night. And he said, I look like the Elephant Man. You know, he was all, you know, puffy and all that. So so anyway, one night Tug and I were having dinner with Pete. And I said, Pete, you know, I have to tell you, you broke my brother's nose. So he pulled out a picture of himself and he signed it and he said, hey, John, nice nose. Ha ha, Pete Rose.
Hey, John,
I was
always
trying to get that picture today.
John always says that when he got that broken nose in prison. I got the stories mixed up.
He's a lawyer. That's, yeah.
But it's one of those things, you know, Lou was talking off the top of the show about Pete, and this is one of those debates that's been going on ever since, you know, he was banned from the Hall of Fame. And everybody thought, well, it's going to take him dying before he gets in. And I just didn't know if you had given it much thought. Maybe Tug had talked about it. I didn't know if it was one of those things that, you know, it's just Pete being Pete. And, you know, if he gets in, he gets in, you know.
Yeah, I think Tug would always wanted him to be in there. And if you're looking at it today, and I was just hearing someone talking about this the other day, you know, of all the other issues that have happened with other players and even more dire situations, you know, they get a slap on the wrist, but Pete got banned. So, you know, it wasn't right what he did at the time, but it wasn't as bad as maybe some other.
And Diane, you know what's really ironic is that now every major league team is in bed with casinos with gambling.
Exactly.
Ads, you can't escape. It's on the scoreboards. It's behind home plate. That this is something, and the NFL, all of them. It's gambling.
And we've already had players.
Now they're taking millions and millions and encouraging you to bet.
And we've already had young players suspended for betting and some betting during games.
Yeah. So I do hope that they're able to do something. And if they can do it, you know, even though he's not with us, that would be nice for his family and just for the memory. He should be in there. So that's my.
Yeah. The bottom line is he impacted the sport of baseball. I mean, Pete Rose slide. I mean, he just, one of the top three baseball stories, I think, is him getting into the Hall of Fame. I mean, it's
his work ethic was sort of, I mean, players were always sort of, you know, they started to get a little soft and spongy, and he was one of those guys that, you know, even on a hit by pitch, he would sprint to first base. You know, he just had that mindset that even as a manager, he instilled that in the players, because a lot of players didn't want to get injured. Their agent told them they shouldn't do this. You know, maybe they sit out a few games during the season. And Pete was like, where are you getting this stuff? I said earlier, Diane, he was kind of like a blunt instrument. He was kind of unfiltered. And I'm guessing that's the kind of the way you guys remembered him.
Hey, Diane, those three bats are fantastic. What other kind of memorabilia do you have that's important to you?
Well, right now with the Phillies and the Mets maybe coming into the playoffs together, I have the rings from both the Mets, 69 Mets and the 1980 Phillies.
Oh, wow.
I have an autographed personal four-leaf clover that was given to me by Pele.
Really?
That's another story. And then I have something from McEnroe. And, you know, I've had 30 years of my career has been in sports. So representing different cities, L.A., Orlando, Louisville, and Philadelphia. So I have a lot of different sports stories myself, you know, not related to Tug, just my own personal.
You were one of the first women sort of in kind of that sports marketing administration side. And I think a lot of people either forgot about, didn't know, or overlooked that you were sort of early on in getting pro soccer here. And I think there was the story that was told on one of your bios about going to a Vet Stadium and asking if you could rent it. And what happened there? You kind of got the brush off to bring a couple of pro soccer teams in for a game.
Yeah, I had Holland and Brazil coming because I lived in Holland and my father-in-law was friends with the owner of the Amsterdam soccer team. And they said, no, we're not even going to rent you the stadium. It's nobody likes soccer here. It's only football, Eagles. And it was 1987, 88. So back then, soccer hadn't really caught on. So they said, go talk to Franklin Field. And I did. And the athletic director said, we'll have it here. Go talk to the city. They started a Philadelphia Sports Congress. So I went over and met with them and they said, well, we'll help you, but we won't give you any money. And I said, I'll get the sponsors. I'll raise the money. Yeah. And then I found out I had to have a sanction from the Soccer Federation to even bring international teams in. So I went to New York, got on a train and they said, we have a U.S. men's national team and they've never played in front of a crowd before. Can they be in the match? So I said, well, fine with me. So I couldn't match up Holland with the U.S. or Brazil with the U.S. So they said, we'll get you a team from the Soviet Union, from Russia. And at the time, it was before the fall of the Soviet Union. So the team they sent was from Ukraine, believe it or not. So we had 43,000 people. We netted $300,000. The city of Philadelphia hired me to be the head of the Sports Congress. And that's how I got into the Sports Commission world. And then we had a second game a year later. But just real quick, a few years ago when the Ukraine war broke out, I decided to raise money for Ukraine. So I have 25 soccer legends and they came to Philadelphia to the Union and we raised money for disaster relief and for Ukraine at the time and now for youth soccer. So I'm re-engaging all the soccer legends and we're hoping to go to World Cup cities to raise money for youth soccer and disaster relief.
Diane, I think we should start talking about a statue for you. or sainthoods.
I don't have a lot of time, but I have a really funny story maybe next time about the South Jersey Hall of Fame and Tug. So but I don't know, you probably have other guests to come on.
Well,
so
I was gonna say, We don't want to peak too soon. The other thing I want you to save that, because I think what we're going to do is have the Diane Brings Her Sports Memorabilia stuff on, and our King of Sports Collectibles, our partner in the Museum of Sports, sure, is going to do one of those spot appraisals. We call it the knock the guest out of their seat with a spot appraisal. And we've freaked a few guests out with some of his appraisals. So if you're willing to dredge all of that stuff out of boxes and cases,
I do. I even have a football signed by Nick Sirianni. I'm sorry.
Oh, you do? Really?
I have from the Super Bowl. I went to the Super Bowl. And I got Nick to sign the football, so I have that too.
Okay. So. Yeah, you need to pile that stuff up on the desk. And before we go, you said you had something from John McEnroe. I'm a big tennis fan. I go to the Open every year. What do you have from John?
Well, a picture with him, and I did the concert. I did a exhibition game with McEnroe versus Connors down at the Atlantic City Taj Mahal. And it was called The Duel of the Aces. So I have a nice autographed T-shirt from John and Jimmy Connors.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay. You're on for that. Lou Booker.
All right. We'll talk.
And before you go, you've got a cool project coming to town. I'm a big musicals fan. An Irish musical?
Right. So when I was doing the soccer legends, I was talking to these fellows from Ireland, and they were producers, and they came to Philadelphia, and they said, you know, we have a musical called Where Eagles Fly. And one of the main songs is Do You Know Who You Are? And I said, well, wait a minute, do you know where you are? Because you're in Eagles, Philadelphia right now. And they said, can you help us bring it here? And I said, sure. So they made me co-producer. And now it's going to be at the Kimmel Center, Miller Theater, March 20th to the 30th. Oh. And they're bringing over the cast from Ireland. And it's a beautiful musical. And
what's the storyline?
It's about the Irish immigration from the 16 to 1800s in Philadelphia. They all came here. Mm-hmm. They didn't go through Ellis Island. And they came here first. So it's sort of the history of them getting over here. They came on a ship called Eagle's Wing. So that's why it's called Where Eagles Fly.
And, that's amazing.
So it's a fun project, and it's a beautiful, beautiful musical. So we're excited to bring it here March.
Maybe before that's coming to town, we'll have you back on with your pile of collectibles and comp tickets for everybody at the Museum of Sports Show.
Sure, absolutely.
that's extortion. They call that extortion, Diane. I'm sorry.
It's totally fine.
Well,
it's
Diane,
great. I'd love to have you as my guest.
Thank you so much for sharing all those memories when Tug had about Pete Rose. And thanks for letting us know about the Irish musical. Where can folks go to just kind of check on your products and your projects? McGrawProductions.com?
McGrawProductions.com, yep. Mm-hmm. And before you go, I have to giving you a hello from a good friend of yours that I just saw at lunch today. It was John Nash.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So John said to say hello to all of you.
Oh, right. Wow. Yeah. Oh, he's a good friend of the shows. Good friend of the shows. Right back at him.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, keep us posted. Let us know. Maybe just let us know via email or what have you. And we'll set up some time as that musical's coming to town.
Okay. Sounds great, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Diane. Have a good day. Good seeing you. Hey, when we come back here in the Museum of Sports Show, the man who is keeping America's beloved baseball gloves alive from around the world, when the Museum of Sports Show continues right here on Talk 860 and Facebook Live. Back in a moment.
Can you imagine Philadelphia without the Broad Street Bullies or its fabled Spectrum Arena? Well, it almost happened until Lou Scheinfeld and Ed Snyder, otherwise known as Flash and Cash, teamed up to rescue the Flyers and got America's Showplace up and running. It was 1967, and the world was in a whole different place. You can read all about it in Lou Scheinfeld's heartfelt memoir, Blades, Bands, and Ballers. Get a signed copy at themuseumofsports.org. Themuseumofsports.org. Blades, Bands, and Ballers, now available.
The Museum of Sports Show is presented by Depatche Franklin Cardiovascular and Autonomic Center. Dr. Nicholas Depatche is a caring specialist who uses natural antioxidants, nitric oxide, and anti-inflammatory agents to treat shortness of breath, brain fog, chronic disease, autonomic dysfunction syndrome, and more with minimum medicines. To learn more, please call Nicholas Depatche, MD, FACC, at 856-589-6034. That's 856-589-6034.
Who remembers the Philadelphia A's or the Warriors or the old arena at 46th and Market? We do, and that's why the Museum of Sports is being planned for Philadelphia. What's it like to face a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, ride your bike up the Manayunk Wall, or drive in the Pocono 500? We've got rare items from Babe Ruth, Mike Schmidt, Chuck Bednar, Bernie Perron, and Wilt Chamberlain. The Museum of Sports is on the air, and you can join the fun every Thursday, 4 to 5 p.m. on WWDB 860.
Woven into the fabric of America's favorite pastime lives a love for nostalgia that Jimmy Linetti is determined to preserve. The retired Minneapolis mail carrier and father of three took a swing 2 years ago, opening D&J Glove Repair.
Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, fellas.
Dedicated to restoring baseball gloves.
A glove.
We're back on the Museum Sports Show, sponsored by the Depatche Franklin Cardiovascular Center. They are the specialists in non-invasive treatment. I'm Doug Scheimel, along with Susan Baxter and Lou Scheinfeld. Our guest, you see him there in the Zoom box there, chugging his healthy soda on a Minneapolis afternoon. You know, for many years, through rain and snow and sleet and hail, our next guest was a mail carrier who did not fail. And when he retired, he started taking care of something very crucial to the national pastime. As you heard in that little clip coming out of the break from NBC Nightly News from last week, it is baseball gloves. He was recently featured in that piece. And here he is joining us from Minnehaha Avenue in Minneapolis, Minnesota, a big Museum of Sports show. Welcome to Mr. Jimmy Linetti. Jimmy, how are you, man?
Doing great, Doug. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, I'll tell you, it was, I called, I guess we got in touch the other day because I saw the piece on NBC Nightly News the other night, and I recorded and went back and played, and I said, oh, I've got to do that. Got to get him on. So now you're joining us from the store on Minnehaha Avenue in Minneapolis, because people hear that name and they're like, oh, that's one of those made up Midwest names. But it's basically Indian tribe or Native American tribe, or was it a Native American princess? I can't remember what the background.
Yeah, the princess. Isn't there the Longfellow poem? Because Minnehaha Falls is just located 2 miles to the south of me. Oh. So Minnehaha Falls is kind of like a known landmark locally.
So it wasn't named after Minnie Minosa, huh?
No.
So, Jimmy, I got to ask you, when you were slogging through all of that weather, mostly snow, as a mail carrier in Minneapolis over the years, when and how did that thought of repairing and restoring baseball gloves first enter your head? Because I know your grandfather was kind of a cobbler, so he worked in all the old leathers, making shoes, keeping them alive. But when did all of that sort of start occurring to you? Because you have a lot of time to yourself when you're carrying mail.
Well, you know, truth be told, I kind of got into the glove repair even before I became a mail carrier. So I've been doing the glove repair for over 15 years. You know, I was just a mail carrier for around 12 years.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of a good late career move for me. And it gave me time to focus on the glove repair. And then as the glove repair started taking off, I realized that, hey, this could be like an ongoing concern. You know, I can open up a storefront. I can retire early. And that's what I did.
That's pretty wild. And you started doing it, I guess, because your son, Dominic, was involved in Little League and that sort of thing. And, you know, he'd pop a little piece of leather or something like that in his glove. So and how did it sort of catch on? Because I'm sure he said, oh, you know, my dad, he fixed my glove. He could probably fix your glove too. And then it was like, oh my God.
Well, it was kind of like, you know, it was just kind of a fun little father-son thing, you know, when I started doing it for him and his teammates. And then just on a whim, you know, we started calling ourselves D&J Glove Repair. You know, I gave him top billing.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah. And then a friend of mine in the advertising industry, he just kind of like designed a logo for us. Our first logo, I think it's on this shirt here. This was our first logo.
Oh, very nice.
And, you know, we had business cards made and we had T-shirts made. And again, it was just more of kind of a fun little father-son thing with no really ambitions of an actual business. But then, you know, word starts getting out. And then kind of as my son progressed up the ladder in levels of baseball, we started focusing in those, you know, those areas, you know, from Little League to high school to college. And now he plays amateur ball in Minnesota, which is kind of a big deal, men's amateur baseball.
Sure. They
call it town ball.
Yeah.
So, yeah, all the way I've just kept, you know, kind of, you know, extending my reach as he's progressed up the baseball ladder.
That's pretty well. Highland Park High School, St. Mary's University, and the Egan Bandits, or the, I don't know, yep. How do you say this, the Dundas Dukes?
Yeah, well, Dundas is one of the town ball teams. My son doesn't play for them, but I certainly make appearances down in Dundas often. They're, if you're ever out in Minnesota, there's just so many little towns that have baseball. They say all you need to have a baseball team in Minnesota is, you know, a church, a cemetery, and a bar, and a baseball field.
In that order. Yeah.
Exactly.
Hey, Jimmy, the quality of gloves over the years has changed.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that the gloves today don't stand up like the ones from when we were kids?
Yeah, there's still good quality gloves out there. And it's getting harder to find good quality leather, and like, a lot of glove manufacturers, you know, are using artificial materials, maybe on the back of the glove or the inside of the glove, just to keep costs down. But something I heard once that makes sense to me when I think about it is that back when maybe you were younger, when all of us were younger, you know, gloves, you know, obviously made out of cow, steer hide or whatever. But back then, it took longer for cows to go to market, you know, to go to slaughter. And so their hides had more time to develop. Now, with modern technology, hormones and whatever, those same cows and steers are going to market sooner. Mm-hmm. And then their hides don't have as much time to develop. So you're not getting the quality hides that you used to get back in the day.
That's interesting. Wow. I did not know that.
Yeah, I heard that from my tannery contact. I use exclusively lacing from Tennessee Tanning, and they're the same supplier that Rawlings uses, and they even produce the leather that's used on Major League Baseball's. So, yeah, Tennessee Tanning. And, like, I see a lot of very subpar lace coming in on imported gloves. So, you know, good lace is key to a glove. You know,
some of these gloves, did they belong to some of the major leaguers that we would know?
That I've worked on?
Well, I mean, some of the things you have, you just showed some really old gloves there that look like the kind they used back in the...
Oh, yeah, those are these, because you look at the difference in style. Now, that's kind of, what, 20s, 30s, 40s there.
Yeah.
These are the ones that we're seeing on showing on Facebook Live.
Yeah, that's A2K, a much more modern look. Yeah, A2K, A2000, you know, those are more modern. You know, that was for a local men's amateur player that I did that for. A lot of people don't keep their glove conditioned, and we've all seen gloves that kind of get torn up on the inside. And I always get guys that want me to repair the insides of their glove. And I tell them, like, hey, you know, you got to clean and condition the inside of the glove, because, like, when your hand sweats, that sweat has salt in it.
Yeah.
And salt's like the worst thing for leather. So if you're not keeping the inside clean as well as the outside wiped down, it's going to be detrimental.
Well, when we were younger, we would use nets foot. What's
neat's foot oil?
Feet? Yeah.
Yep. I advise against neat's foot oil. It's guys tend to overapply it. And once the oil or that liquid soaks through the leather of the glove, it gets into the padding. And if you've ever seen a glove that's heavy and floppy, that's because some guy overapplied the oil.
Saturated,
got into the padding. And once it's into the padding, you're never going to get it out.
Well, once the season was over, we would apply the oil, put a baseball in there, and then tie the glove up for the winter. And then in the spring, we would open it up, and the glove had a nice pocket. Might have been a little wet, but it was salty, but it tasted good, you know.
Yeah, Jimmy, so,
what is it that drives you, Jimmy? I mean, is it, obviously you've got a sense of nostalgia.
Yep.
Am I muted?
I'm still here.
Go ahead, Susan.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say that the I saw your nightly news special, and so you have gloves coming in, getting shipped. How are you getting the word out?
Well, you know, I get the word out, you know, before the news story. I estimated probably, you know, 40% of my gloves were being shipped in from across the country. 60% of the business was local. And, you know, I don't do a ton on social media. The only thing I do is Twitter. I'm kind of going to stick with that until the ship goes down or whatever. And I got a pretty good presence there. People know me, and I'm kind of the glove guy. So I get the word out that way. But truthfully, since I just totaled it up, I just came from the post office. So, you know, that NBC news story ran on Wednesday. I responded to well over 250 emails since then. Mm. And then the gloves started showing up on Monday. And over the last 4 days, I've taken in 70 gloves.
Huh. That's awesome.
That's phenomenal. Now, do you ever get like guys from Major League Baseball showing up with their leg breakers at the front door going, you know, Jimmy, it's nice that you got this, you know, glove repair thing going here, but you're cutting into our new crappy glove market.
No, and I get that asked a lot about doing work for major league teams. And, you know, most major league teams, you know, have a clubhouse guy that can do basic relacing and stuff. I've done some catcher's mitts for the Tampa Bay Rays. I got a good connection with their equipment manager, and he sends me catcher's mitts that need more than just basic relacing. And I think I did the New York Mets catcher's mitt too, kind of the same deal. I had connected with their bullpen catcher who got the glove to me.
Is hardest to do, a catcher's mitt or a first baseman's glove?
Both, you know, they're, you know, I charge a little bit more for catcher's mitts, first base mitts, and then also those trapeze web gloves that have a little more lace.
Oh, that's pretty wild. Hey, before we go, Jimmy, you got to give us a little walk and talk, show and tell around the house there.
All right.
This is inside D&J Glove Repair in Minneapolis, Minnesota, for those of you watching on Facebook Live. And those of you who are listening, you'll just have to use Theater of the Mind. You've got a ton
of all the gloves I've received recently.
Oh my gosh.
Is that since the NBC story? Holy
man. Yes. And then my shop, you know, you've posted pictures of that. You know, yeah. I got some nice twin stuff on display. I got a nice display case with all my twins.
You did the Metropolitan, or no, you did the Met Stadium version, correct?
Pre-Metrodome. Yes, I'm a big fan. You know, I got a seat from Metropolitan Stadium here.
Oh.
So that's one of my prized possessions. You know, fun thing I tracked down just for the kids that come in. You know, I got a little gumball machine that
oh my goodness,
mini helmets. And it's funny too, because dads bring their kids in and the dads are all excited and they give their kid a quarter and the kid doesn't even know what to do with the quarter. Where's
that's if they know what a quarter is.
They put it in and they wait and they go, no, you gotta turn it. So, but anyways, yeah, just, you know, I've basically, when I opened the shop here, it's been 2 years now. September 17th was my grand opening. And my rule of thumb when I opened it, I just want to surround myself with stuff I like. So that's kind of what I did. I got all these vintage trophies up here. I don't know if you have moose lodges out where you're from, but I heard that the local moose lodge was shutting down. And someone said, Jim, they're going to throw away all their trophies. And I go, they can't do that. I'm getting down there. going back to 1930.
So. Exactly. Now, remember, cool. Jimmy, at a certain tipping point, you become a hoarder. So just be very careful.
I always tell people I have a very carefully curated collection.
Exactly. It's wonderful. Hey, the man who is keeping the nation's cherished pastime pieces of equipment alive, baseball gloves, Jimmy Linetti. You're fighting the good fight. Keep it up. And I think, as I was just telling Tug McGraw's widow, Diane McGraw, who was on just before you to share some memories about Pete Rose, she's got a ton of memorabilia. I think we'd love to have you back, and we'll do some of our spot appraisals with our King of Sports collectibles. So if you're willing to do that, we'd love to have you back.
I think I had an old glove. I'd be curious. It has an old signature on it, an old, you know, not a signature, but just like an endorsement on it.
Right.
but it's a Hall of Famer, so I think it might be worth something.
Jackpot. You're sold on that one. Jimmy Linetti with the D&J Glove Repair at djgloverepair.com in Minneapolis. You can check it out, see what he's got. If you got an old mitt sitting on a shelf, it ain't dead yet until you send it to Jimmy. Jimmy, good seeing you, man. Thank you so much.
Nice chatting with you folks. Yep. Enjoy the rest of your day out east.
All right. Thank you. And go Vikings, right, Jimmy?
I saw the helmet. Nice touch.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
It's decades of agony. Jimmy Linetti, thanks, man.
All right, boy. See ya.
Hey, when we come back, our King of Sports collectibles when the Museum of Sports Show continues here on Talk 860 and Facebook Live. Back in a second.
Can you imagine Philadelphia without the Broad Street Bullies or its fabled Spectrum Arena? Well, it almost happened until Lou Scheinfeld and Ed Snyder, otherwise known as Flash and Cash, teamed up to rescue the Flyers and got America's Showplace up and running. It was 1967, and the world was in a whole different place. You can read all about it in Lou Scheinfeld's heartfelt memoir, Blades, Bands, and Ballers. Get a signed copy at themuseumofsports.org. themuseumofsports.org. Blades, Bands, and Ballers, now available.
The Museum of Sports Show is presented by Depatche Franklin Cardiovascular and Autonomic Center. Dr. Nicholas Depatche is a caring specialist who uses natural antioxidants, nitric oxide, and anti-inflammatory agents to treat heart disease, hypertension, palpitations, and more with minimum medicines. To learn more, please call Dr. Nicholas Depatche, MD, FACC, author of 4 books and over 100 articles and abstracts at 856-589-6034. That's 856-589-6034.
Hey, buddy, what can I get you? How about the ultimate sports memorabilia basement?
Welcome back to the Museum of Sports Show on Talk 860 and Facebook Live. I'm Doug Scheimel, along with Susan Baxter and Lou Scheinfeld, brought to you every week by the Depatche Franklin Cardiovascular Center. They are the specialists in non-invasive treatment. Up next, he's our king of sports collectibles, whose family has the world's largest and most valuable sports memorabilia collection and our proud partner in the Museum of Sports, finalizing a home down there at the Philly Sports Complex. Ladies and gentlemen, he was off last week, back this week, Nick Depatche Jr. Nick, how are you?
I can't complain. I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Pretty good, pretty good. Hey, we had a good pinch hitter last week, one of your new additions, your volunteer coordinator, Bruce Shaw, who's got his pretty sizable collection there behind him in the interview. But he was wonderful, and you've got some great folks out there at the Depatche Museum.
Oh, yeah. We've got excellent people working for us. And, you know, it's exciting. Moving forward, we're going to have many different events. We're going to have the Gloucester County Little League Champion team. We're going to honor them with a plaque. That's and there's exciting things on the horizon for the Depatche Sports Museum.
Absolutely. You can check it out by going to depatchemuseum.org, correct?
Yes, correct. Yeah.
I've got that in my little pea brain, Nick. Hey, it kind of a tough week. Two Philly athletes who were here briefly but made a mark, Pete Rose and Dikembe Mutombo, passed. And Diane McGraw was on sharing some of her, and she and Tug's memories of Pete Rose. So I wanted to find out, and I know you guys have posted on the Depatche Museum Facebook some Pete Rose stuff. What do you guys have in the collection? And obviously, you know, posthumously, we've talked about this before, prices go up, up, up when someone passes.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And Pete Rose was an icon of the sport. He's the hit king, the all-time hit king, obviously. But adding to it, the controversies with gambling. And, there was another controversy that wasn't as – it was a little bit darker, but we won't go there. That's the reason, I guess, the Phillies canceled the Wall of Fame ceremony when they were supposed to put him in the Wall of Fame. But – regardless of the controversies, Pete Rose was one of the pillars of the game. You can't tell the story of the game of baseball without mentioning Pete Rose. So his memorabilia is definitely going up. And Mutombo too, Mutombo's not as collectible as Pete Rose, but he was a global ambassador for the game, so Mutombo does have global appeal as well.
And what do you do? I mean, Lou and I were sort of talking during the show, you know, Pete Rose sort of, you know, Charlie Hustle, you know, had a work ethic, you know, went all out on every play, no matter how innocuous, and his stats can't be denied. Dikembe Mutombo, sort of more of a philanthropic figure. You know, he, as Lou said, maybe a little one-dimensional, and that was one of the reasons he kind of moved from team to team to team. What happens to the collectability? How collectible was a Dikembe Mutombo prior to his passing? He certainly was a revered figure in his homeland in Congo, and, you know, doing all sorts of philanthropic things like building hospital, et cetera.
Yes. So, I mean, if you're a basketball collector and you collect game used memorabilia, Mutombo is a must have. He's in the Naismith Memorial Hall of Fame. So he is collectible. He's not on the level of Michael Jordan, LeBron James, obviously, in terms of collectability, but he's up there. It helps that he won 4 Defensive Player of the Year awards. A very decorated player. So I'd say he's more collectible than the average Hall of Famer, but not at the top tier.
Yeah. What about, Pete Rose's collectability kind of bumped along. And people are often lionized in death. You know, we see that all the time. Lou, while not a huge fan of Pete Rose's, feels he probably should go into the Hall of Fame. I didn't know what your thoughts were and what that would do to his collectability.
Yes, I mean, I'm a believer that he should go in the Hall of Fame. Shoeless Joe Jackson and Eddie Cicotti from the 1919 Black Sox scandal, they were banned. They should be in the Hall of Fame. And even though Curt Schilling's being held out for things he said that aren't really politically correct, I think that he should be in the Hall of Fame because all of the guys I mentioned, their statistics speak for themselves. They played the game of baseball the right way. In terms of the Black Sox scandal, they served their time. Pete Rose served his time. So I think it would be the time to let them in. Like I mentioned too, Schilling as well.
And I guess it's one of those things, and maybe you've seen this before, when people have been, you know, inducted posthumously, is that an immediate blip in the collectibles market then, or is it something that takes time to sort of be assimilated? I don't know how quickly that shows up at, you know, the auction prices.
No, it's an immediate blip. There's exceptions. Like if you have you had like Monty Irvin, inducted posthumously, he didn't get a blip, but a guy like Dick Allen, he would get a blip.
Yep.
Yeah.
What do you have there from Pete Rose that people would love to see?
Okay, so I didn't bring anything with me, unfortunately, but we have his Phillies and Reds game use uniform, and we have a game use bat of his, I believe we do have an award of his, but I can't think off the top of my head of which award it is. We used to have a silver slugger.
We had Tug McGraw's widow, Diane McGraw, on earlier, and she has a bat, as Doug mentioned, signed by every member of the 1980 World Series. In fact, she has 3 of them. And Pete Rose did not come to the celebration because he said if he couldn't be on the field, he didn't want to sit in a corporate box. But years later, she went to his signing in King of Prussia with her pen, and she got him to sign all 3 bats. What's a bat like that worth?
A 1980 Phillies World Series bat. It's got Hall of Famers, Mike Schmidt, Steve Carlton.
Right.
Pete Rose, maybe. For all intents and purposes, is a Hall of Famer in terms of collectability. Right. But yeah, with those signatures, I would say like 2,500 is probably a good range, like 2,000 to 2,500.
That's, and the story she tells is, as I mentioned, she got everyone's signature there, because he did not attend. She had to track him down. And where was he at a signing at like King of Prussia Mall or something like that? And she had to literally line up with everybody else in a pen, a marker to get him to sign it.
And did he recognize her?
Oh, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Tug was a good friend of Pete Rose's, and they've been in the company a lot of times. But we should mention that anything that you have, and we're showing this Pete Rose Cincinnati jersey, number 14, is signed and or worn. One of a kind.
Exactly.
Not something you go to the sporting goods store and buy. These things were actually worn in a game and signed by the player. And it makes them very valuable.
Absolutely.
And do you have any Dikembe Mutombo in your museum?
We do. We have his a jersey of his game used. Obviously, like Lou said, from his Sixer days, it's the black jersey from the early 2000s, and you're familiar with that logo that we no longer use, but we associate with the Iverson era.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, so we are out of time. For all the cool stuff and to schedule a sneak preview down at the Depatchi Museum in South Jersey, go to depatchimuseum.org. Our King of Sports Collectibles and partner in the museum, Nick DePaccia Jr., thank you so much for being on the show. That's all the time we've got. We want to thank our guest, Diane McGraw, baseball glove preservationist Jimmy Linetti, and our King of Sports Collectibles, Nick DePaccia Jr. And don't forget to buy Lou's new book, Blades, Bands, and Ballers. Get your custom copy by going to themuseumofsports.org. Lou will pen a lovely greeting in sharp crayon. And also check out the website for cool swag updates when you donate. Museum of Sports show brought to you by the DePaccia Franklin Cardiovascular Center. They are the specialists in non-invasive treatment. You see the logo right there on Facebook Live. For Lou Scheinfeld, Susan Baxter, and Nick DePaccia Jr., I'm Doug Scheimel, reminding you of what our good friend Carly Simon always says. Lou?
These are the good old days.
They sure are. Have a good weekend, everybody.
You guys.